Stephen is gifting us again this morning, which is always good. Celebrations of Pentecost to all of you. Good morning. By way of announcements, we have a handful of things going on. By the way, there's a roofing expo. I'm supposed to announce that there should be a lot of shingle women there. And so I was supposed to announce that for everyone. Yeah, boo. Trying to get myself organized here. That's a big job. On the back of the bulletin, you see that we have a relatively straightforward week going on. Are there other announcements for the good of the order? Debbie Gunther is standing. Michael, we celebrate missions, and Debbie Gunther, our mission chair. Hang on, we're...
Good morning. The June crop fundraiser is the 17th, which is a week from Tuesday, at BJ's on Sable and Alameda. And thank you for all the support. Last month wasn't a great turnout, but we did get $42 from Slim Chickens, so thank you.
All right, thank you, Debbie, and thank you for those of you who helped with mission opportunities. Oops. Others, Ms. Monica, please.
I just wanted to, my family wanted to thank everybody for the support that was given during my father's funeral and everything. We hadn't been through one of those before and didn't realize how much just taking care of things like food, and we truly appreciate everybody helping out and coming. Thank you.
Well, and thank you for gracing us with Ruth and Monroe and with your families. We're grateful for that. Other things by way of announcements. I don't see any other things going on that I. Richard Schneer. By the way, you can thank Richard for the banners. He gets out and he has some wings that he puts on, and he hovers and he changes the banners that way.
Anyway, I wanted to let you know that by the entrance to the lower parking lot, there was a big, very dead pine tree that is no longer upright and mostly gone. And I want to thank Jose, who you know, and Elise, and I said that wrong, I'm sure, and Paya, who both helped immensely in clearing away all the stuff from that tree. There's a mountain of wood.
And you want to we're going to auction off the trunks, or? They come cheap.
Anybody that has any interest in some firewood, I have some left that wouldn't fit in the dumpster or the trailer that we used to haul most of it away.
All right. Thank you, Richard.
There's some left. I'd love to see it disappear.
Okay. Elise, Paya, Richard, everybody, thank you for your good help. Other announcements for the good of the order? I don't see anybody else. Are we ready to begin our worship of this Pentecost Sunday? You don't sound very convinced. Are you ready?
Oh, yeah.
Amen. Let's stand. Wave hello to one another. And let us turn to our call to worship. James, lead us.
Grace to you, brother. Please remain standing for the call to worship. Jesus tells us, "See, I am coming soon. My reward is with me to repay according to everyone's work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end." The Spirit and the bride say, "Come." And let everyone who hears say, "Come." Everyone who is thirsty, come. that everyone
who wishes take
the water of life. The one who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon.
Amen.
Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all the saints. Amen. Please remain standing for the opening hymn, Spirit of the Living God, found in your pew hymnal on page 393. We're going to sing, it's short, so we're going to sing it twice. Go through the verse twice. Be seated. First scripture reading comes from the New Testament, the book of Acts. We found them in the page 111. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as the fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages, as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every people under the heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound of the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others sneered and said, they are filled with new wine. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, fellow Jews and all who live in Israel, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days, it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I now invite the ensemble forward for a musical number.
Thank you, ensemble. By way of our continuing worship, our prayer time is before us. If you have, I want to make us aware of the prayers on the back of the bulletin. We continue to lift those and be aware of those. And if you have other prayer concerns, though, this is a great time to lift those. Do you have prayers of concern to lift before the body? Diana Hunt is already waving her arm. Michael.
Actually, I'd like to ask for prayers for me and my family. I learned that my uncle, who is basically about 12 years older than I am, has just been diagnosed with a very aggressive form of leukemia and is not expected to be around much longer. And at the same time, I found out my second youngest cousin just died from a liver problem. And I did hear from Helen this week. She is apparently sick, and that's why she's not here today, but hopefully she will return next week.
Okay. Helen Collins, okay. I don't suppose she's just sick of weeding. No. Okay. Other concerns? Do we have any updates on those on the back of the bulletin? Sandy Tinney, can I impose upon you? Just give us an update on your son, Don, recovering from a stroke, a long, difficult journey, and we're offering lots of prayers.
His stroke affected his left side, but last week he was able every day to move his wheelchair outside and sit in the sun. And as soon as he got in, it started to pour rain. And he says, I'm getting fast.
Amen. A little bit of a sense of humor helps immensely too, doesn't it? Michael, Debbie Gunther.
I just talked to the grandmother the other day, and Justin Wheeler is doing better. He's gaining weight. He was the preemie we were praying for, so he's doing better. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. I might just lift. I've got a 44-year-old who was in Children's Hospital for several weeks when she was born, and. So if you ever get a chance to support that beautiful hospital, they saved her life, and what a blessing. Debbie Burns.
I've been texting with Holly Armstrong, and I think it's Tuesday. She goes back to the orthopedic doctor, and they're going to see if she's ready for weight bearing on her ankle. So
steady progress there, and we hope that soon, and we look forward to seeing her. Amen, amen. Other inputs. Shelley Rayburn, are you still employed?
No.
Shelley Rayburn was working for NIST, wasn't it?
No, University Corporation for Atmospheric Research planned meetings for NASA and NOAA and NIST and National Science Foundation, and since all their funding's been cut off, they can't have meetings, so I have no work to do, so they had to do a reduction in staff, and they let half our staff go.
Shelley, I'm so sorry.
Me too.
Prayers, indeed. Other concerns in our midst. Be aware, wars do not seem to be abating as we had hoped. Violence continues. And judging by the noise in my neighborhood last night, it's going to be a raucous summer. Just saying, I think that there's going to be a lot of activity going on around there. So we should buy stock in companies that sell earplugs. Just kind of a thought there, thinking ahead. No other concerns. By way of celebrations for birthdays and whatnot, Jim Latow offered me or handed me this note. Catalea is going to be 5 years old on the 9th. Jim, I'm not sure what relation she is of yours. Oh, no, great-granddaughter. He wrote it down for me. I just can't read.
She's my great-granddaughter.
All right. Happy birthday to Catalea, or Leia, as it. So.
Thank you.
And happy great-grandfather day there as we celebrate her.
Thank you.
Lindsay Osterlund has a birthday today. Rick and Louise Jasper have an anniversary on Thursday. And everybody else is coming up next week. Monica, did you remember Joe has a birthday on the 20th?
Yes.
All right, just checking. You know, it's our duty to take care of each other here, and you know, make sure we don't miss any of those and get ourselves in trouble. I don't have any other lists of birthdays or anniversaries, other celebrations. Oh, Sydney, please.
Getting there.
My mom's birthday is the 23rd.
Oh, my goodness, she didn't let us. I do have that down. That's 2 weeks from now, or a week ahead of there. And she's going to finally turn 18. I have down here. All right. So,
thank you.
The 23rd. All right. Sydney's getting ready. She's planning it. Are you excited, Laura, or no? Not as excited as Laura. All right. Others, other birthdays, anniversary. Oh, Paya.
I think these are Joy's.
Please pray for my grandmother in Tonga. She will be 87 on Tuesday.
Tell me her first name.
Paya.
Yeah. Let's see if I can figure out how to spell that and write it down here. Okay. And she's going to be 87 on which day?
Tuesday.
All right. Happy birthday to the other Paya in Tonga. Okay. Other birthday celebrations, concerns? Ellen, please.
How about some joys?
Yeah.
I wanted to draw attention to that incredible spray of flowers on the altar. Thanks to Linda Emerson. They're absolutely beautiful. If you get a chance, walk up and check. They're above and beyond.
You know, it's kind of funny. From the back, I looked and I thought, well, why did she only put in yellow flowers? I don't see red. So it was yellow and everything else was green and gray there. And so, but they are beautiful. Thank you. Thank you, Linda. As always, your work is much valued.
That's why people run traffic lights.
Anything else? Mike, that microphone is on, as you just said, shared that thought about traffic lights. It came over the speakers. All right. I don't see any other concerns. If not, let's turn together in our worship service to our unison prayer. Let us read responsively. Lord God, hear our prayer. Loving God, help us to know our true selves, openly and honestly exploring within, finding our own judgments and prejudices, acknowledging both our failures and our gifts. Our thirst for truth is not for ourselves alone. We seek truth so that the world may believe. Each day, people look at us to see us as Christians. Each day, may we offer you in our words and our actions. Grant your grace, Lord. Gift us that we might offer you as lovingly to others as you have offered yourself to us. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. I invite you to a moment of silent meditation in preparation for prayer. Loving God, we come before you this morning. We come before the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, all together in the triune God. We come together celebrating the Spirit that descended upon us and gave us utterance, gift to be able to speak and to offer you. Lord, we are a little overwhelmed. We are more inclined to keep quiet and out of hesitance that we might be confronted, out of hesitance that we might misspeak, out of hesitance that our lack of complete and total knowledge might hinder us in being able to offer you. Lord, enable our tongues. You fill us with your Spirit. You give us guidance in each and every instance of where decisions come before us and we ask what to do. You are with us through the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, the advocate that you've left to guide and inspire us. Help us listen to that voice. Lord, there are a lot of voices speaking to us. There are voices of advertising. There are voices of division. There are voices of all kinds of agendas that seek to grasp our attention, to seek to draw us in directions that are not necessarily your directions. Help us pause. And in this moment, in this gathering, we can pause and listen to the silence and listen for your still small voice. But Lord, it is out in the world where we need to hear that voice the strongest. It is in the world, amidst the challenges and tribulations, amidst the joys and celebrations, amidst grief. It is there that we need to hear your voice the strongest. Lord, inspire us to learn, to listen, and to know your voice. Like the sheep that know the voice of the shepherd, let us teach us, instill in us, and help us to memorize your voice speaking to us, that we might know it at all times, in all places. Lord, we've come before you. We've lifted some of the prayers in our midst. There are others. And there are private individual prayers that we lift this morning, the prayers of concern, prayers of celebration, prayers of perplexion. We lift them before you, and we know that you listen and respond. Help us be a people that listen and hear your response, and help us be a people that obey. Lord, thank you for all of the gifts you've given us this morning. Thank you for the gifts of the music in our midst, and for the ability to gather and celebrate in freedom, and for families gathered, for the young ones that give us such inspiration to energy, and for the wisdom of the wise, of the elderly, and the wisdom of the young. Lord, thank you for all the ways you gift us. We ask, Lord, that you join us in worship this morning. We ask that you come and be with us as you guide us and inspire us. And we ask that you hear our worship and our prayer as Jesus taught us the Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Stephen is going to bless us with an offertory on the piano.
Good job, Steve. Good job. Our second scripture reading comes from the book of John in the New Testament. It can be found in the Pew Bible, page 103. Please stand if you're able for the reading of the word. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you and he will be in you. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It's time now for VBS video. Please stand and participate if you're able or inclined to do so.
Thank you. I have to share a little bit of business. We broadcast this live on YouTube, so if you are joining us live, you will be able to see this, but once this goes and is posted, they have an automatic system, and because this is copyrighted music, they block the entire video, and we have to go in and take this piece out so that the people online who watch the video not live won't get to see it. So for those of you who are seeing it or missing it, now you'll understand some of that. Let us get our aerobics. Please lead us, kids. Thank you. Well done. And we were debating the female at the very beginning. You saw the white critters. They're not the alpacas, but the females would have been mama llamas, right? I'm just trying to get it. And we were debating the fish. Was that fish? At Nalu, you guys, you're Tongans know more about fish than I'll ever begin. They've forgotten more than I'll ever learn. But what was that fish he was holding up? Could you tell? You could not. All right. Well, Elise is grinning at me, but I don't know if she knows it either. So we'll just see. I know that fish is a huge thing. Texas goldfish. All righty then. The message this morning, I'm sorry, Diana? Oh, thank you. James, come. Okay. It's all out of order.
All day.
It's a long day, and we're out of order. Okay, cool.
Our final scripture reading comes from the New Testament also. The book of Romans. It can be found in your hymnal, church pew Bible, page 148. Are they to stand? For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Had it all printed out and ready. Thank you, James. Spirit of adoption, Abba, Father. We celebrate. There was a, Colleen is not here. They are very busy this month, and so she asked for these next couple Sundays off. And she does the accompanist, as Steve does, gratis, and we are very grateful. But she played a piece a couple of weeks ago. Did you hear that? They will know we are Christians. How's that go? They'll know. I don't remember. I remember whenever I see a woman wearing a cross, I remember when I was in high school, there was a gal I had a crush on, and she wore a gold chain with a cross, and she was perfect. I mean, I was smitten, there is no doubt, and at that young age, but wearing that cross, and it was just the perfect, it wasn't too much. I mean, if she'd worn pearls in high school, that would have been silly, but you know. At any rate, I years now have gone by, a couple anyway. It's only a couple years since I was in high school. And I'm curious whether or not she was wearing the cross for religious reasons or for the adornment, for the appearance. I don't know. I don't. And I would love to find her someday and ask that question, but she probably doesn't remember. I know she won't remember me. I was younger than she was. But at any rate, have you seen people that wear a cross and you look at them and you think, is that just a decoration or does that mean something? Does that have some greater meaning that I don't know. I've told you before, I went to buy gas one day, not automobile gas, but the gas for my welding torches, and I went to this company, and this guy's helping me load bottles of acetylene and he's wearing a cross on a chain, and now I kind of had a feeling, and as we were taking care of the paperwork, I said, I'd be willing to bet that cross is not just decorative. And he got kind of hesitant, and he said, no, sir, this is not a decoration. And I had to grin because he was getting just a little defensive. You know, you don't know when we begin to offer our faith how other people are going to respond. Because Christians have been under duress at times in our past. So anyway, I said, I'm the pastor of a Christian church. I said, so I kind of figured. He turned around and just beamed at me and grinned. You know, we knew. There was a lot we knew there. Separate denominations, much different denominations, as we later found out, didn't matter. But that cross for him was a way of proclaiming his Christianity. Is that what that song was? They'll know we are Christians by wearing our crosses on our chest, on chains around our neck. Is that how that went? I'm trying to remember. How is it determined whether we are people of faith or not? How are any people of faith determined, I guess, is a broad question. But for our purposes, I'm going to narrow it down to Christians. What metric is used to determine whether or not we're true Christians? Now, I'm going to get a little bit long-haired and windy here and warm it up in here with hot air, but this is just hang in there for a minute, because there's a couple things to discuss. There are several different ways that people proclaim and denominations use as metrics to determine true Christianity. One is the liturgical method. Okay, and the liturgical method means that if people worship properly and regularly, they are people of faith. The Hebrews, that was probably a huge way of determination. You had to come to worship, you had to be there, and it had to be done in specific ways. It was spelled out, and the liturgy was all done by the chief priests and the leaders of the synagogues and what have you. So there was a prescribed method. Even the Seder dinner, how many of you have been to a Seder, the Passover meal? You remember there's a script that goes along with it. There's an order and things that are done in a specific way. So that method of worshiping, the liturgy, becomes the true test. If you're doing it properly, then that is a true metric of your true adherence, if you will. The early Christian church had the sacraments. At one point, there were 29 sacraments. You needed a sacrament, and I'm going to be a little facetious here, but you needed a sacrament to do anything. Wedding, I believe, is still a sacrament in the Roman Catholic Church. I'm not sure. Anybody know there? And I don't, and I want to, is that, Sydney says, I believe wedding is. In our United Methodist Church, how many sacraments do we have? Dos amigos. And they are baptism and Holy Communion. Those are the only sacraments that you need to come to church for and need to be done by the clergy. And in our denomination, we do that because it's easy for to drift off and get down the wrong path. It would be easy for the Lord's Supper to become celebrated potlucks. Or there was a gal who came up and to me in the first church I served as the associate pastor. Oh, she says, Pastor, if you're not doing anything during your time, I'm going to serve the kids communion. And I looked at her, I said, no, you can't do that. You're not clergy. You have to be a pastor or have a dispensation from the bishop to be able to serve the sacraments. Her face went a little bit white. But she was a wonderful person. She just grinned at her and she says, well, I'm glad I said something to you beforehand. Strong Texas accent. She says, I'm glad I said something to you beforehand, she said. And we proceeded to go down and we had communion with Coca-Cola and pizza. Was that not right? That might be okay. Want to think that through. Theologically, I've debated that now for 30 years I've debated whether or not that's celebration of communion, and the core of it is, was it done for the right reasons, with the right understanding of what happened and what it was celebrating? I believe it was legitimate if it was bringing us back to Christ and his body and his blood and his sacrifice for us. We can have that discussion over donuts later. So here are two of the sacraments. At one point, the church had 29. You had to go to the church for everything. It was all about doing things the way the church told you to do them. So the liturgy became the more important thing. And in the Roman Catholic Church, the Mass is done the same way in a routine. It was in Latin at one point in time. The people didn't understand Latin, but they had it memorized. They could follow along. So liturgical was one metric for determining whether you're not, you were a true believer. A second method for determining might be orthodoxy. What do you believe? Do you believe the right things? Do you believe the right things about the right things? And there's a myriad of jokes about that, and I'm not going to tell any of them, but the bottom line being, if you're going to be a part of us, you have to believe this way. And nothing outside of that is acceptable. And orthodoxy can be very constrictive. It can be opener. I'm not sure that's the right word to use there, but it can be more fluid, more accepting. But how we believe, what we believe, and that's not to say that what we believe and how we believe it aren't important, but there are also added to that a sense that if you don't know everything about what to believe, then you're not a true believer. And my argument is, what about baby Christians? Someone coming to the church for the first time, feeling a call to walk into a building, they've heard about Christianity, don't know the first thing. I saw a guy come into church one day, and he was looking at the Bible, and he says, "Which is this, the New Testament or the Old Testament?" And he was holding up the Bible, and I said, "Well, they're both in there." "Oh, there's two books here. Oh, that's a very beginning knowledge of." His knowledge of orthodoxy was minimal. His knowledge of scriptures might have been minimal. What's curious is that a lot of people know the parables of Jesus who never come to church. "Judge not, lest you be judged," is the King James version of saying, don't judge these folks unless you've walked a mile in their moccasins. Isn't that saying the same thing? And isn't that something that Jesus would say, that works for me? So learning about and orthodoxy and determining whether or not the right things to know are the right things to know, is that the metric for determining whether or not somebody is a true believer? So then there's another way. I'm trying to think of that song. It says, "They'll know we are Christians by..." It'll come to me. It'll come to me. I'm teasing you. We're going to wait to get there. And that's the common denominator that we're talking about. And the word is orthopraxy. Say that with me. Orthopraxy. Good. You just learned a word when you go to lunch today with all your friends and neighbors. And they'll say, "What did the preacher talk about?" And she said, "I don't know, some word, couldn't remember it now." Orthopraxy. What do we practice? What do we do? "They will know we are Christians by our love." Now that's the song. Is that orthodoxy? Is that biblical? Is that teaching us? Matter of fact, Jesus said, "By this they will know that you are my followers, if you love one another as I have loved you." Isn't that saying the song, the same thing? They will know we are Christians by our love, by what we do, by our actions. Now, I have to laugh a little there, because one of the problems is that we are people with feet of clay. I don't know, maybe you're all perfect, but I make mistakes. I'm a lot like Paul. He said, I want to do the right thing, and I don't do it. And there are things I don't want to do that I end up doing. Lord, help me figure that out and get that straightened out. I'm on a journey. I'm not perfect. I'm moving on to perfection. Let's say that. Moving on to perfection. I say it all together. Moving on to perfection. Just keep saying that. Just say that as your mantra. Because we aren't there yet. It's this journey of trying to get there. I actually knew a guy, and he said, you know, when I was pretty young, I decided to go to the church, and he said, I went in, and people were singing and holding hands, and it was all loving and caring and sharing. He says, it was wonderful, and my heart was about to burst. He said, it felt so good, and he said, got out in the parking lot, and they took my life in my hands, trying to dodge them all, rushing to get to lunch. Got run over in the parking lot. We are people with feet of clay. We are hypocrites and need to acknowledge that. And we are rightfully condemned by that. Because too many people claim they're good Christians and then do things to prove that they are not perfect. So there are things about this orthopraxy that we need to be aware of. But we need to think about how we love one another. That's why the parable of the Good Samaritan is vital. You ask most people who have no biblical knowledge, and they will have heard of the Good Samaritan. Check it sometimes. Ask them, have you ever heard of the Good Samaritan? Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, Colorado has a Good Samaritan law. We do. Did you know that? The law says if you stop to help somebody with the best of intentions and do your best to help them, you can't get sued. There were cases where somebody stopped to help somebody change a tire by the side of the road. They get hit by oncoming cars, and they get sued because they didn't push everybody off to the side of the road. Who knows how they got sued? But the law states that if we're doing our best, with the best of intentions, we are not liable. That's the Good Samaritan law. That might be the most people know about being a Good Samaritan. They may not know that it's about a person who was a hated, despised Samaritan. You could not be around Samaritans. They were unclean. You do not associate with them. And there's a man who gets robbed. He's stripped naked, all of his things, and he's beaten, and he's left unconscious in a ditch. Preacher comes down the road, sees a naked body, and this good Jewish rabbis and priests are forbidden to be around naked bodies and dead bodies, so he crosses to the other side of the road and goes on. Another one, same denomination, basically does the same thing. Then this Samaritan from Samaria, this unclean person, stops, picks him up, puts him on his donkey, takes care of him, takes him to an inn, helps nurture him, and says, if there are any other costs, I will bear them to help this person. That's a good Samaritan. It's not what people understand or expect, but it's a way of understanding that we are supposed to take care of each other. And people know that. They may not know anything about the Bible, but they know a good Samaritan is somebody who takes care of others. Amen. Judging. That's the other one where we get ourselves in trouble, but we want to practice it. And, you know, it seems like we have something that we do repeat every Sunday about judging. I'm trying to remember where it is in the worship service. James, do you remember where in the worship service somehow we say something about judge not, lest ye be judged? What is it? Forgive us our trespasses. That's it. Forgive us our trespasses, and let us forgive the trespasses of others. I didn't get that very right. I don't say it often enough. Just every Sunday. How do we remember to forgive each other? We say that every week, and we want to, and we put it in the front of our head, and then we get out in the world and we don't manage it. We have feet of clay. We want to do the right thing, and then we don't always do it. So we fail. But we're moving on to perfection. So here we are on Pentecost Sunday, that day when the Holy Spirit descends upon all of us. Tongues as of fire descended upon us, giving us utterance to speak in the languages of everyone we meet. Being able to speak to them. I love this encounter I had one day out in front of the church, right out here. This gal was wandering. She was standing at the door, and then she walked away, and then she walked back to the door, and she walked away, and she had a car with her kid in it and a couple kids in the car. And finally, I went out, and I said, "Can I help you?" "No inglés." I said, "Oh, goody." I said, I speak about this much Spanish and that badly. And so she looked at me, and she was looking for something. I never quite figured that out. But we got out our phones, and we started working between our phones. And it didn't take long that we had everything figured out. We didn't have to speak each other's same language. The Spirit gives us utterance. It might feel a little bit uncomfortable for a moment when you get up against someone and you don't understand. And I'm getting to the age when I don't hear people well, and they'll say something and I don't hear it, and I'm thinking, I'm just going to bluster my way through it and pretend like I heard. Maybe I need to back up and say, let's work our way through this. Let's let the Spirit guide us together to communicate. Because that's what we're called to do. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Speak and you will be speaking, and the gifts of the Spirit will give you utterance. God within us guiding us and inspiring us. And did you hear what James read in Romans that I almost didn't let him read? Did you hear what he read? We will be heirs, adopted by God, children, adopted into God's family, heirs with Christ. That's a wonderful thing. That's a wonderful gift. That's a gift beyond imagination. That is adoption that is beyond price. Amen? All right, let's proceed. James, are you leading us in something now? To know you more, faith we sing, 21 and 26. Let's stand and sing. We go from here as a people going out into the world, and we begin the season of Pentecost. It's a long season, and it's one that gives us lots of opportunity to go out and speak to our brothers and our sisters, our neighbors, and our people we like, even the people that we're not so enchanted with, and to offer them the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. May we do that in the name of God and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Join hands, blessing our closing. God's people said,
Amen. Amen.